Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your spirit that leads us. Father, help us to just be wide open for what you might want to say and do in here, in me, in hearts, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been my experience that when God wants to do something in all of us, like collectively, he also does things in us individually. I'll say it again. So when God wants to do something like with the whole church and the whole of us as a body of Christ, he is often doing things individually as well at the same time. He's doing things personally in every single one of us. We love him for that. He can speak a word, as I believe he is doing, and it can mean something completely different to me than it would mean to you. And it's still the same powerful word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word remains. It has passed every test of time, every test of history. And how do I know and believe that the word of the Lord is alive and well? Because I've challenged it in my own life. I've tested it. I've used it in my own life, and I've seen it to help me grow, to help me break through, to help me overcome things. It's been my comforter when I've been down. Has anybody ever found themselves in the Word of God looking for ministry besides me? Come on, I'm the only one. You're looking for the Word, looking for ministry in the Word. It's like it'll speak life to you. It'll speak direction to you. And so God gave us the word in the four P's. We're still there. We're on the fourth one. Praise the Lord. We've been preaching this since the beginning of the year. Who do we want to be when we grow up? God is calling for the church to grow up, to become mature, to be sustained by the meat of the word and the meat of the work that we do in ministry. Not milk, not like a little baby. He wants us to grow and mature in the word. And so he gives us direction and he gives us directives. And then we come in here and we get all psyched up out of our mind again. And we believe again and we're strong again. And then we go Monday, and Monday we're probably pretty good. Tuesday, you know, probably need a little refresher. Wednesday, we better have another night of worship. Thursday, you know, it's just like the same thing. It's like God wants to come live permanently in you. It's Pentecostal Sunday. I thought about doing a message about it. And I was like, I'm not waiting for the fire to fall, guys. I already contain it. So do you. God's not looking to get one more ounce of anything in you. He's trying to get everything out. All the time. Be who he called you to be. Pursuing God. Praying. Becoming a people of presence. Possessing what he gave. Those are the four P's. I don't know why I did it like that. That's probably some sign language thing. Somebody will tell me later. Pursuing God with everything you are, making your prayer life come up, that the house would be a house of prayer. And you know what? It is becoming that. We've only been here, 9 years, and we finally figured out we got to pray. That's a disgrace. It's like, Lord, we meant to. We give 30 seconds to prayer. We used to do that. We give 30 seconds or maybe 1 minute to prayer. And now this place is soaking in it. That's why you can feel a little difference. You can feel a little lift, a little next level coming. As God is visiting us because he inhabits the praise of his people, and we know his voice and he's speaking. And so when he's speaking to pray and we start to pray and we're praying his word, then he watches over his word to perform it. And then we start to become a people of God's presence, and he wants us to possess these things. Okay? We've been using the metaphor of possessing the land and using the story of Joshua. And I think, you know, it's going to take a little courage to lean in to what we're talking about here. And I can't remember if I said this or not last week, but don't you look at Joshua and think, wow, he's synonymous with courage? Joshua, you know, think about the name Joshua. It's a pretty powerful name. It's a popular name too. Joshua. You know, you don't see many people named Ichabod. You just don't. You know, oh, it's a little icky. You know, we just don't hear it. Ichabod Crane, it was in the Bible. It's a person whose name means the glory has departed. Man, it must have been a bad season. But Joshua, we think his name, you know, just it means strong and courageous, you know. We make it synonymous, but God tells him 6 times to be strong and courageous. He reminds him constantly, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You're not alone out here. We just read this morning in the pre-prayer before service, you know. Go make disciples, you know, baptize people, teach them everything that I'm teaching you. And you know what? I'll be with you always, even through the end of the age. There's a promise of God that he will be with us. So we are not alone here. We have this awesome, phenomenal power in a itty-bitty living space right here, functioning in us. It's very good. In the beginning, you know, God's plan was never for people to just be distracted and not know him or love him or have communion or fellowship with him. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God made man and woman there. And you know what they did? It says they walked with God in the cool of the day. Evening comes and God shows up for a walk. What? And then sin comes. Sin separates, you know, us from God. And just in a little jaunt in my study, something I found. And I've probably read the story of Adam and Eve and sin. And, you know, the first sin wasn't lust or pride or greed or any of those. It was food. Just saying. And so here it is. You know, the Lord told Adam not to eat from that tree. And Eve wasn't there when he said that. That's why the Bible says Adam sinned, because he knew. And she was deceived, right? Men, cover your women. Women, respect your men. Don't see if they'll take an apple from you. That's so small. Be encouragers of one another. You know, we want to find these things in God, all these freedoms and all of this incredible walking with God in the cool of the day and these pursuits and these happenings, but we still have our mouth running toward people saying the most vile things. You know, there's a critical spirit that has to come down. In Jesus' name, that has to come down, and you can put it to death. I can put my own critical spirit to death, but I can't do yours. You are responsible for you. And so when you find yourself like murmuring and complaining, and especially to the people that you love the most, you know, what is said about your marriage or your relationship behind your back? Is it inspiring? Is it good? Just a little thing. Let's be encouragers of one another. We want to hold on to the hem of the garment. We got to clean up our mouth. You know, blessing and cursing can't come out of the same place, right? Okay. And God's plan is for us to walk with him in the cool of the day. By chapter 6 in the same book, God is sorry that he made people. And he sends a flood. And Noah and the ark takes place. And God finds favor in Noah because Noah still was the man after God's heart. And he shows him how to build this ark so that he can survive what's coming. Because a flood is coming. And God's going to wipe it out, humanity. Redo. And he does it. It's never been God's plan that we would be absent from him and not worship him and not know him and not look toward him. And I'm telling you, if you think people are distracted today, they were distracted then. Doing the same stuff that we do today. Distracted with lascivious lifestyles, with drinking, with partying, with whatever makes me feel good for the moment, and following after a way that wasn't the direction and the way of God, but it wasn't God's plan. It never has been. That's why he brings Moses through and they procreate all over again, and he gives us this thing like a dominion mandate all the way back from Adam and Eve, still happening with Noah. Fill the earth, subdue it, be in charge, grow up. You know, one of my granddaughters is just been afraid of like little flies, because flies aren't schizophrenic. Let's be serious. Flies zip around. They don't even know. They're horrible little creatures. And I've been teaching her this. God has given you a dominion mandate. You're in charge. Here's a fly swatter and the word of the Lord, right? Yeah, that's a real deal. Because no fly is going to take over that child. There's too many great things in her. It's the same thing with us, though. I use that example because that's easy to laugh at. But what is the thing that holds you? Pornography? Are you kidding me? In the name of Jesus, come down. What is it? Is it alcoholism? What about healing? What if that came? What if God delivered our mind from being critical to everything and everyone, and God just brought healing? I call you healer. What if he really means that stuff? What if he meant for you to walk in a communion with him and possess that promise? So he goes on, you know, and then Abraham shows up. Abraham's on the scene. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, all those guys, those are stories. You can start like Genesis 12-ish all the way to 30-something, 40-something. And all their stories are poured out in there. The men of God. Abraham was a friend of God. A friend of God? I mean, I got some good friends. I'll tell you what. A friend of God? Do you know why he was called that? Because of his righteousness. Not because he was right, because God was right. And he was in right standing with God because he took the stories and he passed them down generation. They didn't have a New Testament to look at like we do. They told the stories about the ark. They told the stories about Adam and Eve. And God saw him faithful and knew that he would do it, so he entrusted him with it, and he was a friend of God. He made some promises to Abraham. We're going to read it. Because if you don't know what the promise is, how are you going to grab a hold of it? You got to know what the promises are and what the plan of God was all along, way back when he started this whole thing. God in the beginning, God doesn't need us, you guys. He wants us. He loves us. He'll let us come alongside and do the work of ministry. And he gets all the glory, and to us, we get all the, you know, privilege and responsibility. It costs everything and nothing at the same time. He paid for everything, and you give your all, right? That's the plan of God, and distraction has become our enemy. So you move on through, like, Abraham's story. I can read a little bit of this stuff. Okay, I'm like on page 4. Let me just find it real quick. Okay. Genesis 18, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. Are you a nation on the earth?" It's not a trick question. You are. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Father Abraham, remember when you were a kid in school, anybody who grew up in church and they sang a song, "Father Abraham, how many sons? How many sons have Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, so are you. Let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm, left arm," the whole thing. Father Abraham, father of many. Okay, if you don't know the story, he's like 100. This dude is old. And God is coming to him and giving him a promise in his old age that he's going to have a son. And Abraham lays on the ground and he laughs. He's like, "Will this body do it? Won't God do it, though?" So when you look at yourself and you have ideas like that, not me, not where I came from, not what I have to do, my plate's too full. Won't God pass all of that and be faithful to the promise that he laid out anyway, and bless you and all the nations that will come through you too? There's a thought, it's actually just like a law, that God will, you know, something that happens in disobedience will go for 3 generations. But something that happens to honor God and in complete surrender and humility will last 1,000. It's the way God moves. We're in the thousands now. We got 1,000 generations, however that looks, eternally. Verse 19, "I have chosen him. He will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised to him." He's a friend of God, carrying the stories of God. And I think, you know, as soon as Abraham's wife, Sarah, she's also very old, she's like, they giggle. And because they giggle at the idea of birthing something in their senior years, God says, "You're going to name that baby Isaac," which means laughter. Isaac means laughter. That's what they named their baby, Isaac. And do you know that God required Abraham to make a sacrifice of the child of promise? That's mind-blowing. We're not like that in humanity today. As soon as we see one glimpse of glory and that's the path, we get a hold of it and we go after it with everything we have. And God will ask us, would you be willing to lay down what I showed you in promise so that I could bring something even bigger, maybe, on the other side of that? Well, we don't like that kind of talk, but God does. It suits him. that we might walk in a place of faith. So all the time, guys, God never meant for us to be apart from him, from Adam and Eve to Noah and the ark, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then there's Joseph, okay? Then Joseph is the guy who is the son of Jacob. I'm just bringing you right up to Moses where we've been talking all this time. I want you to have a clear understanding of what we've been looking at and where it came from. Joseph gets sold into slavery because he has a dream that his brothers don't like. And some of them wanted to kill him. And some of them said, don't kill him, just sell him. What? That was a lot of mercy. And so, you know, the story, Joseph goes into Egypt and he's promoted and promoted. You know, he goes through a lot of stuff before he's promoted. Ends up in prison for some dozen or 13 years. But he still has the word of the Lord on him. He still has the promise of God. He still is carrying all of this generational promise and weight on the inside of him. So even in prison, when it's time, God reaches in and goes, now. And so today he's in prison, and then that afternoon he's shaven and standing before Pharaoh. And he comes up with the idea of how to govern all the food in a time of a famine. There was purpose on his life. That's Joseph. And then you know what happened? All of Israel then makes their way over next to, you know, the Egyptians can't hardly stand the sight of a shepherd. So they put him in the land next to him. They call it Goshen, you know. And so they live there. And all of Israel comes to be sustained. Their lives are saved. God's chosen people saved by Joseph's governing of all the food, saving his life. And now they're under the oppression of Egyptians. And here comes Moses. Because the whole, I don't know if you're getting it, but the whole thing of God is he makes a plan. He wants to lead his people. He wants to govern. He wants to be close. He wants to be worshipped. I don't think I'm sure everything occurs to God, but what if it didn't occur to God that we would never worship him or want to? Did it occur to God that we would be so prideful that we would just withhold our worship? I don't think that was the plan. I know it wasn't. The plan was to walk with him in the cool of the day, to hear from him, to walk with him like his friend, to hear from him, to be instructed by him, and to walk in that kind of boldness and that kind of freedom. That's good stuff. So God raises up another deliverer in Moses, and Moses gets the people out of bondage, out into the wilderness, seeking the Lord, seeking his face, sitting at the burning bush, looking for the word of the Lord. If you don't sit before the Lord, how do you get the word of the Lord to know what the mission is? We've said it week after week after week. Have you gone into the room and have you shut the door yet? Some of us haven't. That's why you have school again on Sunday morning. Go into the secret place. Close the door. Let the oil flow on you. Let God speak to you. And I'll tell you, there is a dispensation of grace, and you can go week after week and maybe month after month hearing the same word and never acting on it, but all of a sudden, things will be different, and you're going to have to make a demand on that anointing. You're going to have to make a withdrawal from anything that's been deposited in you. And I encourage you, go while you can and close the door and seek the Lord in secret that he can reward you openly, speak life to you. So good. You know, last week we talked a little bit about how God might have a dream for you to possess or a goal or something in mind for you specifically, some mission that you are supposed to do. And possessing that and taking that as your own and getting it done, that's awesome. Today I want to look a little grander, a little beyond that. Possessing the promise of God being with us. Possessing it. That means when you go home and you're tempted to start back into complaining or murmuring or going into your cycle of, well, we're not in church anymore, bless God, and rah, 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 and you always and you never, and everything else that happens after that, then we gather all that back up, and we remember, God is with me. Just because you're not standing right here, but you're standing in your kitchen or wherever you are, your car, he's still with you. Every single place that you go, he hears you, and he's well acquainted with your doings, okay? And he wants you to be well acquainted with his. He has an ability to just speak life and speak direction. So he gives us some promises. This is some of my favorite places to read this stuff. It's in Deuteronomy. And it's blessings for the obedient. Now, I'm going to read these just like, matter of fact, everybody's like, yeah, sign me up for all that. But they do have a caveat, which is obedience. Obedience puts you in the place of the blessing. Okay, and then there's a whole list of curses, which I'm not reading that today. Is that fair or right? I don't know. I just felt like the Lord told me to tell you what the blessings were in the promise. and get yourself in obedience under those promises. So listen to this. This is Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you. One verse says overtake. One translation says overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Are you ready? You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Now, the word is applicable for wherever you go and wherever you live. You live in the city. We live in the city, okay? I'm not going to the country today, but what it means is wherever I am blessed. If I'm here or there, God's hand is on me for provision and blessing. Do you get it? Secondly, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flocks. Now, maybe you're not a shepherd and you don't have lambs and goats and cows, okay? What do you have? What are you in charge of? What do you work for? What is at your hand? Houses? Buildings? What does God say about that? I'll give you, no one has left mother and father and houses and land that God won't give you sevenfold or whatever that word, however that scripture goes. Johnny will tell me after. You're going to get more. If you lay it down for Jesus, he increases you all along the way. The calves and the herds and all that is speaking about wealth and having a lot of it. And God wants that to be ours. Have you ever prayed and asked him for the greater measure? Because you said that I would be blessed and all the crops of my land would be blessed. And the fruit of my womb would be blessed. How about that? That's kids. My children will be blessed as a matter of fact. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Your basket, that's for bread. You're going to have food. If you ever look at your pantry or your refrigerator, and believe me, I've been there before. I've told this story umpteen times of how I was hungry and I was starting a business. We're in our 30s. We got a kid going to school to charge their lunch, and we got a baby with one bottle left when she wakes up for breakfast. And that is it. And we're starting a business and believing God and looking for him to come. And these are the scriptures that we prayed before God every single day and every single night. And sometimes through tears and sometimes with great authority and boldness. Great authority and boldness when we're seeing the victory and we're celebrating with a bounty. Lots of tears and lots of whining and wailing when we don't see anything. But God has never left us forsaken, you guys. And we've never had to beg for bread. And he's provided it every single time. Basket, kneading trough, blessed. Looking, that's your word. What if you start to pray like this? What if you start to possess the promise that this belongs to me as a child of God and I will not settle for anything less? What if you lived like that in every day of your life? Verse 6, you're blessed when you come in and you're blessed when you go out. If I want to stay in and read and be under my blankie, I'm blessed. If I want to go out and shop and find my friends, go do some event, I'm blessed. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm carrying the blessing of God. Blessed. Verse 7, the Lord will grant that enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. I don't even have to fight. I know how to fight. You know, don't let my feminine appearance fool you. I know how to fight. I was raised a fighter, and I'm still a fighter. The enemy comes at me, and then he flees seven different ways because it's like, oh, she got the armor of the Lord. She's got the spirit of the Lord. When we have prayer time up in here, I don't volunteer to pray first, guys, because when I pray, I go to battle. I am drawing my sword. I'm ready to demolish any enemy that would dare to come against you or anybody else in here. You know, I try to just keep a little prayer here. But, man, it can be really wild and really vigilant when I'm just before the Lord and making out the plans of God and letting him destroy my enemies with just a simple word because he's given me everything I need for this life and for godliness, right? Verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barn and on everything you put your hand to. I mean, I think about my closet when I read this, my home, my pantry, my church. Everything that I put my hand to, it just keeps overflowing with blessing. So much so that we're able to give outside of the walls, take care of people outside of this church. What if God meant for us to do that? What if we were known for loving people and bringing a gift? I hope you go home and look at Deuteronomy 28 every single day this week and figure out what the blessings of God are for your life and grab a hold of them just the same way that you would grab a hold of anything else that you might need, right? Verse 9. The Lord will establish you. Man, I could just drop the mic right there. The Lord will establish you. Do you feel willy-nilly in your life? You don't know how to get your feet down. You don't know how to sink them in. You don't know how to lean into what he's given you. He will establish you. He promised right here. The establishing of the Lord as his holy people, as he promised you on oath that if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and you walk in obedience to him, that all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. And not in a way that they're scared of you, in a way that there's this reverent awe that, man, if I know if I need to get some freedom, I can call them. I know if I need a breakthrough in my life and now I need to learn how to speak to my husband, I can talk to her. If I need to get these devils out of me and off of me, I know I can count on him, right? Because you're walking with it and the Lord will make it known. You'll be established in it. Start to pray thusly. Are you checking with me? Is this making sense to any Christian in this room? It is time to grow up. This is meat. This is steak and spinach, people, right here. Let it go into you. Let it make you strong in the spirit. Let it bring glory to God. Be glorified in this word, Lord. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops on your ground, land that he swore to your ancient ancestors to give you. Everywhere you touch your foot, I will give you. What about that? Have you ever just walked, like, I remember walking around this building and thinking, do I want this? I mean, this is a lot, you know? I was like, I do want it. All I had to do was go into the corner and lift up the red carpet and turn around and see what you're seeing here now. I mean, I saw that in my mind when it was a soaked, stained, dirty, unkempt. And I walked this place and I was like, Father, would you use me for that, for your glory? Would you want that for my life? And I started to walk it and said, we claim it for the Spirit of the Lord and for his kingdom to come. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked a land and said, this is mine in the name of the Lord, by the blessing of the Lord? He'll give it to you. He will. He's not a man that he would lie. The Lord will open heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. Stop it. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Everyone knows this part. The head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you'll always be on the top, never at the bottom. And you know what? I can tell you this. Even when you are going through a stretch or a testing time, you won't feel like you're at the bottom because he already established you, so you feel like you're on the top because you possess the promise of the Lord, and you're carrying it because you're pursuing him, and you're praying, and you're a people of his presence, and you want to get a hold of what God wants you to be, right? Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you to the right or left, following other gods or serving them, and then all the curses start to flow, right? You can read that on your own time. That's not what I'm talking about today, and I'm really good at preaching that part, so I'm not going to preach that part today. I'm just going to preach about how God wants you to be blessed in all of his ways. Here's the covenant that he made with Abraham. You ready? Here's a little bit more. This is in Genesis, I think. I don't know, I didn't write it down. I'm pretty sure it is. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. There's your instruction. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. When you mess up, repent. Repentance is the cure. Don't beat yourself up. You know why? If the cross wasn't enough to forgive you, then you're serving the wrong God. Don't get in there and pretend like, oh, I'm poor me and I'm so miserable and I can't get over it. You can get over anything because the cross is big and it's victory and it brings victory and it brings forgiveness. So stop making excuses and start to make good. It is time to grow. Grow up in the kingdom. Walk before me, be blameless. And then I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase all of your numbers. Walk before me, be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. Now here's the covenant. Abram fell face down, as we should. If you would just let this stuff minister to you in secret, it'll become so supernatural in your life. It'll feel so real when you go in your room and you shut the door and you let God say this instead of just me say it. You should let God speak to you the word. I'm just giving you a little sample of what he says and how he lives and how he acts. You should grab onto this when you're by yourself. Abram fell face down, and God said, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations, and no longer will your name be Abram. You will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." God just wants to change some of your names. You've been called things that are not what the Lord would have you be called, and he would change your name from much afraid to victory. He would change your name from poor, broke, depressed, to encouragement, to faith, to grace. And he's really good at doing this kind of work. You should let him. I remember I asked the Lord one time, "What would you call me? What would my name be?" And I heard this little whisper, like in my thoughts. It was Dahlia. And there happened to be a movie that was going out about that time, and it was called like The Black Dahlia or something like that. And it was kind of, it had like this girl was crying like this black out of her eye. And I'm like, "Ew, that's not the Lord." And I dismissed that completely reading something like this. But God knocks on the door again later. At another time, in another devotion, and my daughter was bringing it to, like, we had like a women's lake trip thing. We're all getting healed that week. And we're sitting there, and she brings this book, and she opens it to the very part that says, "What would you call me, God, if you were going to give me a new name?" And I heard it immediately, Dahlia. And I was like, oh, so two times I'm not going to blow that off. So then I start to look. Plus, it was past that weird movie, and it was, you know, I was looking at what it is. What's this beautiful flower? Okay. And there's so many varieties of dahlias. And they all have healing properties. And God spoke that to me. And I was like, "Lord, I want to be like a sword. I want to be like a shield. I want to be like fire." And he's like, no. That's, you're in my house, I'm those things. Not you, little one. In my house, you're a dahlia. And you're a healing property. Sent. Isn't that profound? That is one secret. There's so many things like that that God wants to whisper in your ear and remind you and tell you and define you with. And here he just tells Abraham, "You're not going to be that anymore. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. I will make you fruitful," verse 6. "I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and the generations to come. And I will be your God. And the God of your descendants after you." Come on, somebody. You got kids out there that aren't following God? The descendants that follow me will follow him. And you start making a declaration. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too difficult? Is anything too broken? Is anything too far gone? No. A miracle is not an unreasonable request to make of the king above every king. We ask God to come and perform over his word. He spoke this covenant. I'm doing my best to walk blameless before him. Now, God, you come and you call my people from the north and south and east and west, that they would follow you, that they would repent, that they would see their sin as exceedingly sinful in their own eyes, and that they would come to you just like you said you would. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And this goes on and on. You guys got to read this stuff. You got to let it settle on your heart. This isn't the part to sleep through. This is the part to know. This is the part to get a hold of as we pursue God and we pray and we become a people of his presence and we possess what he's given us to possess. It's the part to get. And then he tells Abraham what he has to do. He's got to circumcise everybody. Oh, we don't like that part. All the women said, "Praise the Lord." Circumcision to every one of us is a removal of flesh. Your flesh can't come with you. There's not room. The flesh can't come. It has to die. You can't have praise and grumbling. You can't have cursing and blessing coming out of the same fountain. It's one or the other. And when you find yourself in a mistake, remember what you do? You repent, because repentance is a cure. Cures what ails you. It brings you back into fellowship with God. And God measures the heart. If you're doing it, "I'll just do this and repent later," that's not right either. You'll have to repent for that when you see it. God has a promise. He has things that he wants us to possess. How do we do it? Now that we know what the promise is, how do we get it? Well, this is a huge thought, but we get it by faith. I choose to believe that what God said is true. To every one of us has been given a measure of faith, some large, some small. Let me just fill you in on this. If you pray for faith, you will face obstacles and tests and trial. It's like being dumb enough to pray for patience, okay? Because then you will encounter everything that offends and makes your patience blow out of the window, okay? It will come so that you can find that place of grace. And you'll find yourself white-knuckling your very car door and praying in the Spirit, in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And you will find it until you break down and break those things off of yourself. You can do it, but don't pray for those things. Those things come automatically. Pray that God's will would be done, that he would be glorified, that you would walk blameless before him, and that his covenant would be fulfilled in you and your descendants after you, right? Hebrews 11. By faith we can understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Have you ever heard that verse before? The evidence of things not seen. So we're hearing about these things, but we haven't possessed them yet. Because when we possess them, then we walk in them, and we're above all the time when we're never beneath. You know, people want to get up and be close to me and be my friend. You can't be my friend. You know why? Because I can see stuff on you that I can't have. I can't walk in that anymore. You can walk in it because you're in grace and you're walking along the same path as me, but I'm way over here, okay? Because I've already had that breaking and I've already had that spirit. So I'll hold your hand and I might even discern something, you know, coming off of you. It's not my job to confront every single sin and every single thing in everybody's life, but it's my job to help you when God shows you, okay? And I'll speak. Believe me, I'm going to tell you if I see something and if I know. So I owe everybody love, but I don't owe everybody access. And neither do you. And there's a time when you have to come aside and shut the door and let God speak to you about what he is trying to do and what he's trying to get in you. Because if the substance of the things hoped for is obtained by faith, okay, and I'm still over here playing around with somebody who's playing around with somebody who's playing around with somebody who's playing around with that, how am I ever going to figure out what God is wanting to do in me? I can't have all that sloppy junk all over my life all the time. I can't do it. Will I love you? You better believe it. Will I draw the sword and fight for you? Absolutely. Can you sit in my living room? Not yet. But when you get there, you're going to know, and I'll know, and God will make fellowship for it. I'm not putting myself above anybody. Look, I'm under Jesus just like you. The ground in heaven is all level. But what I'm telling you is that when God gives you an insight into what he's asking you to do and you're doing it and someone else isn't, you can't walk together. Not yet. You can worship together, and you can pray together. And you can sit in this room together and you can talk about covenant together. And then when everybody's walking blameless, then we have something way up here. We're moving toward it. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that probably later. But that's what it is. It is what it is. Don't mess with my anointing. The secret place in the oil that you don't know what I spent to get that oil. I'm not giving it to you. Get your own. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God made everything, you can't see it. God is working when you're crying. God is working when you're asleep. God is working when you're down and depressed and you don't feel it. He is moving. He is working because everything that happens in covenant with God happens because of God. We depend on God, not ourselves. We move in his grace, right? We move in his purpose and his calling, and we pursue him and we pray, and we start to notice when God's in the room and we obtain what he's promised us, right? We grab hold. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, though it was being dead, it still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Do you understand? People that have a pursuit for God live in a place that we don't understand. And it doesn't have to make sense to anybody but you and God, whatever he's speaking to you. You go and find it with God. Enoch was there and he was taken away and he didn't see death and we couldn't find him. He was here and then he wasn't here. You know what probably happened? He probably got a glimpse. No man can see God and live. And he probably just pursued him so hard and just saw him and then he was out of here. I believe this stuff to my bones. I love this kind of talk. It's a big God that we serve. It's a little bitty God. Huge, big, gigantic, moving next to a little bitty you. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which would he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. What? Go to a land that I will show you. Pack it all up, move it, and I'll show you when we get there. Here's a contract. Sign the bottom, and I'll fill the rest in later. Love God. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She didn't count on herself. She counted on God. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand is by the seashore. And all these died in faith, having received the promise, but having seen from afar off, were assured. Will God not do it? Yes. God will do it. He will do it every time, and he will do it through you. You can stand up with me. I encourage you to read the rest of that whole thing, but I'm going to be raptured if I keep going. So I got a couple things to do. Chapter 10, just before this, it says, the just shall live by faith. We all know that part. It's followed up with, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We're of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Welcome to the loft, people. In case you didn't know, let me tell you what it means to possess something. Because these are the promises of God that he wants you to hold. Possess. You think of possess, and sometimes demonically you think of that. When you ever do that, or am I the only one? I was like, possess, possession, because that's the word I got at the beginning of the Lord. The Lord wants you to possess. And I thought, well, demons possess. And the Lord's like, I own everything. I own everything. The way that a demonic possession will come and put somebody out of control, God wants us to relinquish control to him in a way that you can't even recognize what happens when a person is demonically controlled. God wants us to be unrecognizable from our former lives and look at something powerful that we can own in the present. Here's what it means to have and hold like property, to own it. Are you owning being above and not beneath? Are you owning that God will establish you? Are you owning that the promise of God is yes? Everywhere that your foot touches the ground, that's yours. Are you owning it? Because it's yours. Now let me ask you a question. And it also says to have an attribute, to seize, to take control of one's possession. If someone, think of your most prized possession, even if it's a person, think of your most prized possession. And someone came and said, that's mine, and tried to take it from you. Would you just go, oh, okay. What would you do? And depending on who you are, you would do something powerful and profound that says, that is mine. I was in this church one time, big church, loved this church, huge lobby. And there was one of our, we had a school there, the church, and one of the ladies who was the principal at that school or assistant principal, I can't remember, she's standing there with her little son and she's holding his hand. And some predator came into the church and came up to that little boy and grabbed his hand to take him. And the mom's like, what are you doing? She goes, this is my son. The predator said, this is my son. I'm taking him. And the lady goes, you're in the wrong sanctuary with the wrong mama. We have to have that kind of authority on our lives. How dare the enemy take one step towards something that God said is mine? I will never let the enemy take anything that belongs to me. I will go straight in there and take it back. It is mine. I'm a blood-bought heir to these things. I will pursue God and pray. And I will be aware when God is in the room, a people of God's presence, and possess everything that he meant for me to hold, because the time is short. And he's counting on me, and he's counting on you to take hold. Father, would you have your way in this place, in this room? I feel your spirit moving. I feel you calling. I feel you making promises, God. And the thing about you, it's not like you're just going to say it and not do it. You always keep your word. You always do what you say. Timeless word that you give us as promises. Father, help us to cut away the flesh that we can walk before you blameless and inherit the promise. Thank you that you are with us. We possess it, Father. Show us how to grab it up in the name above every name, Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, would you fill your people fresh? Amen. Amen. Church, I love you. I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.